The government's official report about the financial crisis is out. Are there any lessons in it?
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
Good morning from American Public Media headquarters in St. Paul, Minnesota this morning. I'm Jeremy Hobson with The Morning Open, a look at business and the economy as Wall Street starts the day. Coming up, what should we be paying attention to, if anything, in today's report from the commission that's been looking into the causes of the financial crisis? But first, where's Wall Street? Stocks are up. The Dow is just 5 points shy of 12,000, 11,995. It's up about 9 points. The Nasdaq up about 0.5%. The S&P 500 up about 0.1%. The number of new people filing for unemployment benefits rose sharply last week to 454,000. That's the highest level since October. Now let's get to today's report from the Financial Crisis Inquiry Commission. Diane Swonk is chief economist at Mesirow Financial, and she's with us live now from Chicago. Good morning, Diane.
Good morning.
So what's the most interesting thing to you in this report?
Well, of course, there's blame for everyone from Wall Street to Washington, lots
right.
of witch hunts out there. But the most interesting thing is what's not in the report, and that's the dissents. And that is that this crisis was not just U.S. in nature, doesn't have just Wall Street and Washington to blame. It was global in scope. It happened everywhere. And that is really important because if we don't take that into context, we'll be coming up with the wrong answers as we try to enforce the regulations that we're now trying to implement as a result of the financial crisis.
The dissents, you're talking about the Republicans on the commission who did not endorse what the Democrats came out with in this report. Diane, while we're talking politics here, I mean, financial reform already passed through Congress, was signed by the president. So what's the point of this report at this point?
Well, what's important is that the financial reforms left a lot of leeway for how regulators are going to actually enforce their regulations, how they're going to go about regulating the financial services industry and many industries, even beyond financial services. So to the extent that they have a lot of leeway, this report could influence and could have them over-regulating in areas where some people want to place too much political blame and missing areas where we still need to look closer at.
Diane Swonk, chief economist at Mesirow Financial, thanks so much.
Thank you.
Well, state and local governments across the country are dealing with some big financial problems themselves, and they've come up with some interesting ways to deal with their debt problems. Our economics correspondent Chris Farrell is here with me in St. Paul with more. Good morning, Chris.
Good morning.
So it's not all cut, 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 Chris. There are other things going on?
Look, that's the headline, and those cuts are big. People are losing their jobs, renegotiating contracts. But beneath the surface, I think the mantra is going to be innovation, innovation, innovation.
In what way? Have you looked up and found a specific example of that?
Okay, so if you go to West Des Moines, this is in some sense an old example, but yeah. We're going to see a lot more of it. 10 years ago, outsourcing trash hauling. They learned over the past 10 years when they renegotiated the contract. They put in that learning experience. But more importantly, the contract is now being run by a regional agency, and that's a greater efficiency, freeing up staff to do other things.
Greater efficiency, that's one thing. What else is going on?
Well, let's go to Maine or Texas. And it's sort of the epicenter of .gov. You've heard this expression,
yeah.
Or as I prefer, government by tweet. And everyone's trying to tap into the power of social media. What does the citizen know? Perhaps you see something that needs to be repaired. You know, you upload it, get that photo off to the Department of Public Works. It's an intriguing idea.
But sending a photo off to the Department of Public Works, that's not going to reduce a multi-million dollar deficit.
Well, this is where you're going to hear a lot over the coming year about clusters.
Okay.
So clean tech in Colorado is a classic example with this new governor. President Obama, when he gave his talk, State of the Union Address, talked about innovation.
Yeah.
Well, clusters are, you have something in your region where you have a strong business presence. Lots of suppliers, universities, lots of knowledge. This is where you're going to concentrate your resources. Resources is bipartisan, is going to grow.
Put everyone together in the same place. And it's nice to be together this time right here with you in St. Paul. Marketplace economics correspondent Chris Farrell, thanks so much.
Thanks a lot.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Ally Bank, offering its Raise Your Rate CD as well as online savings account and money market account. Learn more at allybank.com. By the all-new Chevrolet Volt, available soon in select markets. Details at ChevyVolt.com. The all-new Chevrolet Volt, it's more car than electric. And by LendingTree, providing up to 4 loan offers from a network of lenders. Learn more at LendingTree.com or 1-800-555-8733.
From the real economy to the growing virtual one, Facebook will soon require all app developers to use Facebook's own credits system when selling virtual goods. So if you want to buy a new pig on Farmville, for instance, you pay with credits that you buy from Facebook, and Facebook takes a 30% cut. Marketplace's Steve Henn reports now from Silicon Valley.
Justin Smith just published a report on this industry called Inside Virtual Goods.
Our estimate for the size of the U.S. virtual goods market is that it will hit $2.1 billion in 2011.
Smith thinks more than half of all these purchases will take place on Facebook. So by forcing all game developers to use its own virtual currency, Facebook will collect $300 million in fees next year from U.S. consumers alone. And Deb Liu, who runs this business for Facebook, says social games are just the beginning.
We see a lot of different options for Facebook credits in the future. Right now, social games is where a lot of this virtual economy is happening, but we see new verticals emerging, and we hope new verticals will emerge to use credits in the future.
Think of how much you already buy that's digital, your music, your media. All this could be delivered through Facebook and bought with its own corporate currency. So will the Facebook credit rival the U.S. dollar one day for economic dominance? Randy Krosner, a former Fed governor, doesn't think so.
When it's just within Farmville and people are using it for purchasing and selling cows and nothing more, that's no different than monopoly money. But if people are actually transferring credits to buy real goods and services,
that's a different story. The Facebook credit could get there one day, but for now, it has its limits. While you can use cash from 15 different countries to buy Facebook credits, there's no way to turn those credits back into real money. In Silicon Valley, I'm Steve Henn for Marketplace.
And finally, former presidential candidate and current Congressman Dennis Kucinich is suing the congressional cafeteria. Turns out he bought a sandwich wrap, bit into it, and ended up injuring his tooth on an olive pit. His lawsuit says the sandwich wrap was, quote, unwholesome and unfit for human consumption. He's seeking $150,000 in damages. In St. Paul, Minnesota, I'm Jeremy Hobson. This is the Marketplace Morning Report.
American Public Media.
The biggest landfill in this country is going to be filled to the brim in just 2 years. It's not like we're going to run out of trash by then, so what to do?
You're literally throwing money and energy into a big pit in the ground. There are dollars in trash. Trash is energy.
I'm Kai Rizdahl. We're talking trash, the day's business news, and the numbers from Wall Street next time on Marketplace from American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.